Soul Tape.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
So as we wrap up, Cal, any last words for anybody out there hearing your voice?
No, it's going to be a very, very awesome event, May 4th and 5th. I hope to see you guys there.
Be a great time, great time. Yeah. Thanks for Cal Graham, former ABA champion.
Before you go, man, I can't, and for the young ones that are out there, and it's just, I think it would just be a disservice
if you don't go,
definitely. And also for this show today, because you have Mr. Whited here, who's written a book and who's helped get the Pittsburgh Pipers back together. And then you have Cal Graham, Mr. Cal Graham here, who actually played with the Pittsburgh Pipers. Okay, we know all about you, Bill Neal. You're the host of the show. Yeah. But gentlemen, I'm a history buff and a sports fan, so you know when the two get together, that's dangerous. You guys got to talk about what it felt like in Pittsburgh. Was this all at the Civic Center when it's Civic Center?
Civic Arena.
Yes, it was.
You have to talk about, because number one, you have three different things taking place here. You're talking about the Hill District, which was once prosperous at one time.
Right, it was.
You're talking about basketball, pro basketball in Pittsburgh, which hasn't been here forever.
Since then.
Okay. And then you're talking about gentlemen like yourselves who were involved with the ABA family. You guys got to talk about
but
that before
don't
you go.
Forget also, Martin Luther King was assassinated 2 hours before game time of game one of the conference finals.
What a good point.
The Pipers swept the Indiana Pacers in the first round.
And the Hill District was really smoking that. Yeah. Yes, it was. At that time, boy, you brought a good point.
I write about that, and I weave all that into the book. Because
well, the Homewood was set
on fire. That was scary. That was scary.
And the reason I'm asking you gentlemen to go ahead and explain it and talk about it, because you have time left, Bill.
Okay.
But it's because if you don't, again, your history, you're part of history. Yep. You know the history that we don't know. And I know we want people to get your book, Mr. Whited.
It's not out yet, by the way.
When it comes out, we definitely want people to get the book.
Yeah.
But also, take this opportunity to talk about Mr. Graham, your experience here in Pittsburgh at that time.
Chicken on the Hill.
Okay.
Remember Willie Stargell, Chicken on the Hill? Yeah. Who was the football player? Brady Keys. They had Chicken on the Hill, come from the War Club. And then what was the... The Hurricane, what's that bar route?
Hurricane Lounge.
That was, oh my goodness. Yeah, you're talking about people from all over, and then you had the Royal Club. Oh my goodness.
Cal here is the only guy who stayed in Pittsburgh.
Oh my goodness.
So what made you stay in Pittsburgh, first and foremost? And that's amazing when you're talking about these clubs. See, people, I think as we get older, we forget. Because Mr. Neal, I know a lot about Pittsburgh through you, especially when it comes to sports. But I think for the young ones and people like myself who aren't from here, from Pittsburgh, we don't know.
Well, it changed. Unfortunately,
I'm gonna tell
Pittsburgh
you a funny story.
Changed.
Once the Pittsburgh season was over with, I went to work for Golf All. And that interview, all they talk about was the Pittsburgh Pipers. Because at that time, Ebony Magazine came out with all the pictures of professional basketball players. And then Pittsburgh team, you had me, Connie, Chico Vaughn, stuff like that.
Charlie.
Oh man, so I'm going to an interview for Golf All. I'm shirt and tie, nervous. Calvin, I saw you playing.
That didn't hurt.
Now I'm happy.
It didn't hurt your cause at all, did it?
We ain't talking about nothing but the job. You're talking about Pittsburgh sports. They had a team called the Butler Cubs then. And the guy who interviewed me, he was coaching Butler Cubs. He said, "No, could you do me a favor? Could you bring Connie up to see us play?" No problem. Got on the phone right at the interview and called Connie up. He said he'll be glad to do it if he get the job. but that's amazing. I mean, and I had a good career with Golf All. And that's where I was on the committee with Willie Stargell. That's where I met Bill Neal. What we did in community affairs, we used to work with the community. Pittsburgh community, and we would give money to all any kind of organizations they have. We would do sponsor dances and stuff like that, Ebony Fashion Show, Hill District stuff, the Hill House stuff, and I was very instrumental in helping them doing it. Then we had like corporate people like Heinz, we had Sears, and we had U.S. Steel. Mm-hmm. We had Roy Jefferson. At that time, he was a wide receiver for the Pittsburgh
Steelers. Yeah.
Roy Jefferson. So, yeah. Roy Jefferson. I remember he came out with the hot pants, came up with pink hot pants on that, going to a Roy Club. Yeah. I said, oh, man, this is crazy.
And what he's talking about, and to your point, Trev, Pittsburgh has just changed dramatically since then. It's just not the same place. Anybody that was there in 1970, got knocked on the head and just woke up last week would be shocked at the change. All those clubs, when you talk about the Hurricane, the Aurora, the Pyramid, those weren't dives. That's where the end people went.
Exactly.
That's where the Steelers and the Pirates the celebrities and people coming in, your George Bensons and your...
Don't forget Walt Harper.
Walt Harper.
Walt Harper's an addict.
Yes.
Up there.
Lena Horne.
Yes.
Those are the places those people went. You got dressed up to go to those places. That was, you know, so it's just a changed place. But to the point of the status that you make reference to historically in basketball, it had not been done before, and it hasn't been done since. And that says it all, that Pittsburgh gave up on pro basketball. Now, my contention has always been that the powers that be, Pirates, Steelers, Penguins, didn't want to split that dollar another way. And I've always believed that if Cleveland can have a basketball team,
then Pittsburgh should.
Pittsburgh can have a basketball team. Simple, and that's not a knock on Cleveland, but but we've got a fan base second to none in high school basketball, second to none in college basketball, but you want me to believe that you can't have a pro team here? That's ludicrous. I think it's the powers that be, and there's certainly, and I don't mind saying this, and there's a racial divide about pro basketball in this city too.
That's correct. It's just a matter of fact. Yeah.
Good point. Great stuff. We could go on for a long time.
You keep
reminding me of things. There are a few reasons why they didn't last. Okay, first of all, it was the late 60s. It was before this town went really crazy about sports. The Steelers were 1-13. Chuck Noll hadn't gotten here yet. It was right before Chuck Noll hadn't gotten here. But some of the mistakes they made, number one, the Pipers only had one Saturday night home game that year.
That's correct. That's crazy.
Most of their home games were on Tuesdays and Friday nights. That's high school basketball night. Okay, so there's one big strike against them. The schedule. It sounds like a simple thing, but it was huge.
But at that time too, if I'm not mistaken, and I grew up on the eastern side of Pennsylvania.
Right.
But I knew all about
Fifth Avenue. We won't hold that against you.
Yeah, okay. I knew all about Fifth Avenue. Also knew about Westinghouse and Peabody.
Oh yeah.
And Shenley and Farrell, correct? Fox Chapel.
They're outside of Pittsburgh. Local.
Yeah, right.
Farrell was a basketball power.
Right.
Farrell's up the road.
Uniontown, Midland, Aliquippa, those were all basketball powers.
My point is, just what you said, these were basketball powers that were happening at the same time that the Pittsburgh Pipers were happening.
That's correct.
Okay. And because they were so big and people were going to those high school games, guess what? They weren't going to the Pipers game because they were on the same Tuesdays and Friday nights. Another thing is, there had been a hockey team here, a minor league hockey team, for about 20 years. The Penguins and the Pipers started at the same time. So the Penguins already had a hockey fan base. There was no base at all for the Pipers. Wow. You know. So, you know, there was a lot of things going against them. They didn't get a radio contract to speak of that first year. They might have stayed. You know, they moved to Minnesota.
After the championship game, we moved to Minnesota.
Right.
And that was no good.
Wow. Well, right. They won the championship and left town. And then came back.
Wow. Here's the funniest thing that I always remember. My college coach, I went to Gannon. And after the second year, the first coach, Vince Consetta, the Pipers didn't offer him enough money, so he didn't come back for the second year. So they hired Jim Harding, who was my college coach at Gannon. So mid-season, there was an argument between the owner and the coach.
At the All-Star game.
At the All-Star game banquet.
Wow.
Yeah.
At the All-Star game banquet?
The coach punched out the owner
in mid-season.
Yes. I mean, I tell you what. I know the guy was crazy. May he rest in peace. He was a strict Marine who was zero tolerance. But you had Grohman, you had Connie. They don't want to listen to Tom Watson. They're not going to listen to what he's trying to tell them because they're not college kids. Now, these is pro guys, and he trying to instill something to do something, and they rebel. So the owner took sides with the players. Oh, my goodness. All H broke loose. That guy just punched the owner. Bop.
That was the second year, not the first.
Not the first year.
Second year. In Minnesota, yeah.
So, I apologize, Mr. That's Neil. Okay. Because
but that's amazing.
That's incredible. And the reason I even spoke up as your producer is because I have the three of you sitting here. And see, no one else is here to say to the three of you, because all three of you are involved in the history. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at the Pittsburgh Pipers and the celebration that we're about to have, which I think is a major, major, major event, and I'll add another major to it. But I think people need to understand that this is a lot of history.
Oh,
it is.
Wait till the fourth and fifth. No, I bet they could tell you some stories. And the hotel room, it's going to be explosive.
And that's the thing, because
it's going to be explosive. I'm telling you, going to have the bottles there. And you say, oh, remember this happened? Remember that? Oh,
my God. Stories start going. And you're getting involved because it's infectious. I understand you're getting, I mean, if you, we could probably sit here and talk about this thing for another 2 hours.
Have your radio there at the fourth at Edward Minden Hotel. You're going to pick up. I tell you, get them guys after the banquet. Oh, man, get them guys together. Oh, they're going to start talking.
Mr. Producer keeps hitting on really good things. but it also brings a negative thing. It is amazing how many of the Pittsburgh media around here, and I'm talking, you know, some people I think are pretty good. I bumped in. I won't mention his name. I like him. I was over at one of the TV stations to see if I could dig into some old archives of clips from newscasts. And I mentioned who I was and what I was writing about. He virtually had no clue what I was. When I said Pittsburgh Pipers, he.
Can I ask how old he is?
I think he's about 45.
That's why. That's
so
why.
He doesn't know.
But still, you can open up a, you know, it's not that hard to dig in.
That's why. That's you can't blame him. He wasn't there.
Care, you do that. If you don't care.
But you know what? I disagree. I can blame him. If he's into sports and into news, he's working
make
in the
his
area,
job to know
he
the history.
He should know. Yeah. Even
well, no. Not if somebody walks in and says.
He should already know it.
No, he shouldn't. No, he, okay, I'm a media person.
Yeah, yeah.
Not if you walk in on a guy. And that's like somebody coming here now and asking me something about the Penguins.
After the fact,
after the fact, he should know. But not going in, because he has, at that age, he just wouldn't have any reference point. But if you go to him and say, well, let's get together in 2 weeks. Then he has a responsibility to go figure it out.
Exactly.
But let me tell you something else, Trev, that you struck a nerve on. People also don't realize this. If you watch The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, the movie that was done here in Pittsburgh, that's the Piper story.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Connie Hawkins.
Julius Erving.
Played by Julius Erving.
It's Connie Hawkins who comes to save the team, and they put all the pieces of the puzzle together, and they have this this background coach and it's the story of the Pipers exaggerated, and they win the championship at the Civic Arena. I mean, it was, and you know, Connie's in the movie,
Kareem,
everybody. So it was kind of telling that Piper story on a grand scale. So you're exactly right. It's an era. It's 50 years ago, man.
But still, that's
okay.
But it's gone. But a lot of people. Our job now is to get those who were there then. Those who are here now to come together in memory.
Yeah.
That's the objective.
One more on that take. So
I bet you it's
our
not
man,
one more.
What?
I bet you it's not one more, but go ahead, try.
Okay. A colleague of ours had lunch recently with a Pittsburgh writer from that era who could not remember a thing about them.
Wow.
For one of the major newspapers.
Wow.
And he was, you know, he's older than us.
Wow.
And couldn't remember a thing.
Is that because it's ABA and not NBA?
But the ABA was here. I mean, it's somebody who I don't think gives a crap about the NBA.
Okay,
right?
Got you.
Or there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect there. Like I said, people don't talk about it much. There's a disconnect in this city. Right now, if you listen to, and again, I'm not knocking other sports shows. You do what you do. If you listen to any other sports show in this city, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you may not hear the NBA talked about more than 10 minutes collectively.
I agree.
They don't even talk about the NBA.
Because it's not in the city.
It's the media is part, the sports talk media is part of the disconnect. They don't want to care about it. They don't want an NBA team here. They don't want to talk about the NBA. LeBron James is an hour and a half away. Wallace is 2 hours away. And we don't talk about NBA basketball. Chicago's 3 hours away. We don't talk about NBA basketball. It's absurd. Yeah. This is a basketball, AAU basketball, high school basketball, basketball camps and clinics. John Miller, Sean Miller's dad, out of Blackhawk.
Sure.
Big-time basketball operation. Five-star basketball started here. The Dapper Dan Roundball, for goodness sakes, is out of Pittsburgh.
Yes,
don't tell me this is not a basketball community.
Yeah.
But people disconnect because they want to.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot more that goes with that that's racially motivated. I'm not saying those people are racist. I'm saying it's racially motivated. You're picking and choosing what you want and what you don't.
And that's a good point. And that I was going there before I got before I just had to sit back and listen to you, the three of you talk. How was the relationship between us as a people, black, white, here in Pittsburgh at that time with the Pipers doing their thing down at the Civic Center? Was it a vast divide or was it
quiet?
It just was quiet. I think you're right.
It wasn't
a buzz.
It wasn't out there. It was quiet, though. You know, it's there, but it wasn't like outlandish. It was there.
Wow.
It's there.
But remember, he said quiet.
Yeah.
But at the same time, places like Farrell,
mm-hmm.
Aliquippa, Midland, those places were basketball.
Yes, it was.
Havens.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Legends came from those communities. Walt Magnum. Known to jump over a building.
Yeah, he was tough. The Jim McCoy boys and stuff. That then you had. I mean, it was so phenomenal. B.B. Fleming was good. Even Will Varner.
Bill Varner out of Valley.
The Valley. They won the
and what about the Doc? They had a guy named Doc Hickok from Uniontown. They had guys in Uniontown. Denore, Kenny Griffey. Was as great a basketball player as he was baseball player,
yes,
coming out of the North.
Yes, he was.
You know, so the history of basketball in the Mon Valley and the Whippeel, George Carl out of Penn Hills, my alma mater, went to North Carolina. Basketball was alive and well during that time, alive and well. But the Pipers were quiet. I guess that's a good word. It was not.
It's quiet.
Now,
it's quiet.
Do you blame some of that on marketing, promotion? You know, there's a whole history of media stuff about the antics and promotions of the ABA.
It was a shoestring operation.
And how they were trying to make things happen. So that's part of it, too. I mean, they didn't have a zillion dollars to radio and TV and flood the area.
At that time, Pittsburgh was the fourth largest corporation headquarters in the world.
Mm.
Talking about from 1965 to in the 80s, mm-hmm. this was the corporate mega right here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and I tell you what, in 1970, you hear the influx of minorities coming into the corporate structure.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Gulf, U.S. Steel, mm-hmm. Coppers,
mm-hmm.
Sears. You know what I mean? Now you have a lot of us in there, and that's capitulated to be real well.
Yeah.
Now we could go into the communities and get more funding into the communities, and that was a good thing. And that's why your programs thrive a lot.
Absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. And that was a coming of age.
Coming of age,
yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
I see you getting ready to
Don't forget, the NBA wasn't really that huge then either.
Gotcha.
The Celtics were kings,
and
you know,
Lakers.
They won 11 out of 14 years, I think
it
was. The Lakers were in there, you know, but the Celtics were kings. But the NBA only had 12 teams at the time.
Wow.
Here's something to remember. Right now there's, what, 32 NBA teams?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Back then, there was 12 NBA teams and 11 in the ABA. That's still only 23
mm-hmm.
compared to 32. So it doesn't take a genius to realize that was some real basketball being played in the ABA.
And since we're having fun, let me share this story with you that these guys know about. For our listeners out there that are enjoying this conversation, four ABA teams eventually went into the NBA.
That's correct.
Yes.
Good memory.
Indiana.
Yes.
Virginia?
No. Help
me.
Indiana,
San Antonio. San Antonio.
The New York Nets.
The Nets and the Nuggets.
And the Nuggets. But Julius came from Virginia.
Yes.
From the Squires,
correct.
Rather.
Well, he went to the Nets.
He was with the Nets when they came into the NBA.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, here's how those teams got in. This is the part you may not know. The NBA and ABA were having those battles and those signing wars and getting paying the big college players. Mm-hmm. ABA was coming up with money to play the big college players. They settled on a meeting in New York. And the four teams that we just mentioned that were to go in were to be at this meeting. But Indiana was not informed of the meeting. They were intentionally neglected. Whoever was instigating this whole operation did not want Indiana to come into the NBA. Now, this is all historical facts. Mm-hmm. So they were not at the meeting. As a result, two brothers who are both still living, who own the Pacers, sued the NBA for that negligence, and they won. Mm-hmm. This is one of the great legal settlements in history. At the time, they were awarded a percentage from any NBA media outlet. Yeah.
I thought that was St. Louis.
No, Indiana. That was Indiana. Wow. And at the time, that meant ABC, NBC, CBS, and any one of two major newspapers. Well, the percentage they were offered, I'm not quite sure the percentage, was lifetime. Mm-hmm. Now you flash forward to 2018.
But that's St. Louis. That's not Indiana.
That's the Pacers.
No, it's not the Pacers.
You're talking about, remember, Marvin Bonds?
Right, but that was St. Louis.
That's right. That was St. Louis. Marvin Bonds had, he was in a lot of trouble. He had that big contract, Marvin Bonds.
Indiana, Freddie Lewis played for the Pacers.
He played for St. Louis.
He ended up with the Spirits of St. Louis.
Yeah, that's right. Correct. This was done by the people who own the Pacers.
But
the settlement is for Indiana. Going in. The settlement. Now, I don't know where your argument is.
Because the two brothers were lawyers.
That's
what it was. And it was St. Louis. It was the Spirit of St. Louis. So they had a lifetime contract, whereas the NBA continued to pay them until recently, I think.
And they tried to settle.
Going on,
and it's still being paid.
Good memory.
That's
St.
Louis.
Good paid.
That's St. Louis. That's not Indiana.
Okay. St. Louis.
That's when they had Marvin Bonds.
Yes, sir.
Because they gave him a lifelong contract.
Yes, sir.
And they couldn't pay that.
For lifetime, forever.
Yes.
And I think it's still going on.
I think so.
Yeah. Thank
so,
you for correcting.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
no
think
problem.
It's still going on.
Yeah, that was St. Louis. The Spirit of St. Louis.
It was Spirit of St. Louis.
No, sir, he passed away.
Because he went to Providence. He was a good rebounder, but then he went to ABA.
Right.
Him and Joe Corway, Jim and Joe Corway was playing with St. Louis Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And they was crazy. They was crazy. Good memory.
Where Bob Costas, by the way, where Bob Costas got his start.
Yes, that's correct.
Exactly.
He was
the
play-by-play guy.
Yep.
That
is
correct.
Those guys are still getting paid.
Yeah, it's a St. Louis thing.
Yeah, they're still getting paid. But what they're getting paid now is from every media outlet.
It's perpetuity.
Yeah. It's not just the three TV stations anymore. It's everything that does NBA. They get a percentage of it.
There you go.
It's all yours, Mr. Neal.
I'm done, man. This could go on forever and ever. I know. Now I'm going to tell you what Kev just did.
He really brought back the day with St. Louis.
But he gave us that extra time because he locked that into the VIP session, I promise you. So that's going to go in the special department for the VIP.
That St. Louis is good. I mean, that's a good memory.
You
came back on that one.
Not Indiana. It was St. Louis. Because Indiana
with the Marvin Bonds and Joe
Corwin,
I remember they was the characters down there. But
yes, sir.
It was actually the Spirits
he went to
of
Providence.
St. Louis
they went
got
to Providence.
Left in the bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're gonna conclude all this. We're gonna come back in probably another month with all the nuts and bolts, finalizing everything. But May 4th, Savoy at 6:00. Come on into Pittsburgh. May 5th is the celebration at the Marriott Pittsburgh City Center. 412-628-4856. Mark your number again.
703-725-5818.
So you can call, get your information, get your tickets put away. Like I said, there's only going to be so many seats available. Tickets are only $50, and you can start lining yourself up to be a part of what will be continue Pittsburgh sports history, and you can meet some of these living legends that were a part of Pittsburgh's forgotten champions. So thanks to Mark Whited for digging this whole thing up and resurrecting everybody and motivating everybody to come out one last time. This is going to be a grand family reunion. In case you don't know, so Cal, before we forget, let them know about your business, because we do that on this show. You're in the business of now, you're an entrepreneur.
Okay, I'm the president of Graham & Graham Security. We are in three states, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio. We have federal, state, school, housing authority contracts. Been very blessed. I have 95 employees working for me right now, and everything's going well.
So I got Cal to offer that because when you come to the events, Cal's buying all the drinks.
I am.
So you don't have to worry about bringing no money. Cal's got your back.
I'm gonna get a couple of tables for my kids from the schools, and we're gonna have fun.
Or we can be like Richard Pryor used to say, "Give me a beer for everybody. One beer for everybody." Hey, I appreciate you guys. Mark, you came all the way in from D.C., so thanks for coming in and doing the show. Cal, thanks for being here and being a part of this thing. It's going to be a great opportunity.
No, thank you. I enjoy this. Yeah, this is something new to me.
And as Trev will tell you, this is now in the cloud. So this show is now part of history, and it can always be accessed by going to Urban Media Today, and you can pull it down anytime. But it drops on Wednesday, so you can get it on your phone, you can get it on your computer.
Wow,
and
that's good.
It's locked in. So as I always say at the end of each show, through desire, determination, and dedication, champions aren't born, they're made. And we make them better than anyone.
Soul Tape. The champ is Champions here. Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Make Urban Media Today Radio your only source for that feel-good music. Log on to urbanmediatoday.com and listen live, or tune in to Live 365 or the TuneIn Radio apps, which you can download for free. From morning inspiration with the Church Flow, weekdays from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. and Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And throughout your work week, it's the Flashback, Urban Hang Suite, and a little something for the 90s babies. Take us with you for the car ride home or to work with DJ Sergey Boogie and the Traffic Jam, mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and in the afternoon from 5 to 6 p.m. Tune in weekdays with Trevin A. Jones for the HBCU Sports Report. Also Saturdays, join in on the conversation, Urban Media Today Talk Sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and the big guy, Alan Lincoln. And how can you go throughout the day without any gossip? Tune in to the E! Report with yours truly, Kiki Brown. Get your money right with Mary Jo Lincoln and RSG Accounting Services with Money and More weekdays and only on Urban Media Today Radio. We have specialty programming as well. On Sundays at 5 p.m., it's the Sunday Night Flashback with TJ. Oh yeah, and we can't forget about the Unwind, right? After all the hustle and bustle with work and the kids, it's time to settle down and enjoy the nightcap. It's simply for lovers and for music lovers with the best in old school R&B and slow jams. This is just the beginning. Urban Media Today Radio is exactly what you need 24/7 online at urbanmediatoday.com by downloading the Live 365 or TuneIn Radio apps. What are you waiting for? Download and enjoy today. It's Urban Media Today Radio.
HBCU Sports with Trevin A. Jones, weekly on Urban Media Today Radio. A full report on all HBCU sports action. Also join us on a weekly basis on Urban Media Today, talking sports with our host Trevin A. Jones, sports columnist Ray Porter Jr., sports reporter Vince Butts, and the big guy, Alan Lincoln. That's all happening weekly on Urban Media Today Radio.